And everybody said,
amen.
I welcome everyone to our workers' training tonight. I pray that the power of the Lord will be upon everyone in Jesus' name. Something will be added to your life so that you'll say, something happened to me. Where are you? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We bless your name for your people, brothers, sisters, our pastors, and our leaders. We're asking, oh Lord, that tonight you impart every life with greater blessings in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, you'll prepare us for the new dawn of a new beginning that is coming. And we pray, Lord, that you will so energize and empower us that we ourselves will know that we're different people. We'll change people, we'll transform people, and this work will prosper like no other time in our life, in our hands, in Jesus' name. Impact your life unto us today, and your spirit unto us today, and your power unto us today, and your courage to everyone today in Jesus' name. Bless your people, and use us as channels of blessings for the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I thought you'd say good, good, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. We're coming to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 18. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Because you have heard this verse before, you have read the verse before, it may not strike you as something very new and something very different. But I need to remind you that these words were spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ. And these words were written actually about 700 years before this time in Isaiah chapter 61. And any Israelite that read that many, many years before, actually 7 centuries, 700 years, as they read it, they wondered, because it was never fulfilled on anyone. From that Isaiah 61 until this time, before Jesus Christ came, actually there was dryness in the land, there was famine in the land, the famine of the world, and the famine of revival, and the famine of every good thing. There was drought in the land, there was weariness in the land, darkness in the land, sickness in the land, slavery in the land, oppression in the land. There was fear on every side. There was dread in the nation before Jesus Christ came. Israel had lost the glory, and religion became something mere routine. They just went through the rounds and through the circles of religion. But their religion brought death instead of life, and the deadness was everywhere instead of liveliness. And then Jesus came, and then he appeared in the temple. As he appeared in the temple, then he read this to them and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. By the way, it was the minister there that gave him the book of Isaiah to read. And he opened to just the right place, the right place, the right person at the right time. And he declared to them, according to what had been written, the Spirit of the Lord, that's the Holy Ghost, is upon me. And then he said, I'm anointed. Isaiah had written about that same anointing and has spoken about the key that is going to give the servant of the Lord, that's the very Son of God, Jesus Christ, when he comes. And he says the anointing will be upon him, the anointing will break every yoke. And now he says, the Almighty God has anointed me by the Spirit to preach the gospel, that's the good news to the poor. And he sent him to heal the brokenhearted. Look at all the prophets in the Old Testament. And look at him from the time of Isaiah. All these things you find in verse 18, you're not going to find fulfilled all together in their lives. And to preach and to proclaim deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight of the blind. Isaiah has spoken about that in chapter 35, that he will unstop the ears of the deaf, he'll open the eyes of the blind. Now everything was coming in fulfillment in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then to set at liberty them that are bruised. Now as Christ came, you know what he brought? He brought a new dawn. A new dawn of revelation. A new dawn of refreshing. A new dawn of renewal. A new dawn of salvation, of healing. All the healings that took place, it was like every day, everywhere he went, he met the blind, they opened their eyes, he met the lame, and then he started walking, met the people that had incurable long-standing diseases. Everything vanished away because he brought a new dawn of miracles, a new dawn of deliverance, a new dawn of hope, a new dawn of life. All of a sudden, religion became meaningful. And what made the difference in the life of Jesus, in the ministry of Jesus, what set him apart? It tells us right there at the beginning of verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. And as we come together as workers, and we have this new dawn ahead of us, and we have the great things the Lord says is going to do, you're asking yourself, if the new dawn came through Jesus Christ to the land of Israel by the power of the Holy Ghost, is it going to come through us? It is by the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking to you tonight on the new dawn through Spirit-filled workers. The new dawn through Spirit-filled workers. Let's turn to that Isaiah that I spoke about. Isaiah chapter 61. And I'm reading here from verse 1, Isaiah chapter 61, and we're reading from verse 1. Here is the book that was given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it was stretched, fulfilled in him, and fulfilled through him. And he's passing that on to us, that will be fulfilled through us as well. Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings, the good news, the gospel to the meek, to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. Comfort is coming to you. I said comfort is coming to somebody there. Look at verse 3, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, or the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called, that you will be called, that we will be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The Lord will be glorified in your life. And then as we're thinking of workers, you see that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord had to be upon him. And now that we're saved, that we're Christian workers, and we're doing the work of the Lord, it's no more physically there. Anything that is done now is giving us his name. It's giving us the Spirit. It's giving us the Word. It's giving us the commission. Everything that is done now will have to be done by you, by me, by us together. A new dawn coming upon our land. A new dawn coming this December. A new dawn in every retreat location, that miracles that never happened before in every location will happen in Jesus' name. And the revival that comes, the refreshing that comes, and the renewal that comes everywhere, it will touch everywhere. And thank God, I look at you there, it will touch you. I said it will touch you. It will touch your family. And it will touch everyone in every location of the retreat in Jesus' name. Because you see, the Lord has promised that same Spirit to all believers, to the workers in particular. Acts of the Apostles, I'm reading from chapter 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Here we're reading from verse 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties that I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. It says, this is what Jesus began. And you know, It began in the power of the Spirit, by the presence of the Spirit, by fulfilling the prophecy of the Spirit. And it said Jesus began. He didn't finish the evangelization of the world. Didn't finish with Jesus. The healing of the sick didn't finish with Jesus. The preaching of the gospel didn't finish with Jesus. And the expansion of the kingdom of God did not finish with Jesus. It began both to do and to teach. Now he passes it on to the workers and to the leaders and to the disciples and apostles. He tells us, until the day in the which he was taken up. After that, he is through the Holy Ghost. You see that? Even to give any commandment to the church by the Holy Ghost. Even to give encouragement to the church by the Holy Ghost. Even to give the great commission to the church by the Holy Ghost. He through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom. Look at this. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. What's the promise of the Father? Look at verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When that baptism in the Holy Ghost, when it comes, what will happen? Look at verse 8. But ye shall receive power. Say, I will receive power. I say, I will receive power. There is power. There is power. Which one are you going to receive? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The Holy Ghost will come upon you. Will abide inside you, saturate you, your mind, your heart, your spirit, your soul, and come upon you. It says that the Holy Ghost will be upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Look at chapter 2. In chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You see that? You see that? That's how the early church brought the new dawn. You see, in the early church, it was a new dawn that came to them too. But it came by the power of the Spirit of God. And look up here. Before the Holy Ghost came upon them, after Jesus had been taken, and then Jesus was crucified, and Jesus died on the cross, and then he was buried, those disciples were hiding inside their rooms. They didn't know they could come out. They were afraid of everything around them. They were afraid of the nation. They were afraid of the Sadducees. They were afraid of everybody and everything. And therefore, they were hiding somewhere. But all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came and a new dawn came. And the Holy Ghost has come. I said the Holy Ghost has come. And a new dawn has come in Jesus' name. Hey, look at that verse 4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How did that happen? Verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. That's talking about Jesus Christ. Because after he rose from the dead, he appeared before them. He appeared unto them for 40 days. And after the 40 days, was taken up into heaven. And therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, that's him again, he has shared forth this, which ye now see and hear. When the Holy Ghost comes, there will be something to see in your life. And thank God I will see it. I said I will see something new in your life. Something great and glorious in your life. And then there's something to hear. Whom ye now hear, see and hear. Look at verse 39 there. It says, for the promise is unto you. It's now going beyond the apostles. It's going beyond those 120. And now he's addressing the people before him. He says, the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And it is that that brings the new dawn. Remember, once again, I'm talking to you on the new dawn through spirit-filled workers. And as you open your vessel, and as you bring your clean vessel, sanctified vessel, it'll fill you to overflowing in Jesus' name. The new dawn. Somebody say the new dawn. Somebody shout the new dawn. And then, how will that new dawn come? Through spirit-filled workers. Through me. I say through me. Are you there? I say through me. Through the Holy Ghost upon your life, that renewal and that new dawn will come in Jesus' name. Three things we're looking at. Number one, the Spirit's power in Christ's ministry. The Spirit's power in Christ's ministry. You see, there are people that say, well, Christ did that. Is Christ? Is the Son of God? He's been the Son of God from all eternity. He's God himself. And so, why wouldn't he do that? He did that because he was, according to them, because he was God. That's divinity at work. That's his deity at work. That is supernatural power that he had from all of heaven, that brought from heaven, and he brought you down here. And so there's nothing we can do, you see, from the word of God, that everything he did by the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit's power in Christ's ministry. Point number two, our spiritual preparation to fulfill Christ's mandate. He has given us a mandate. He has given us a commission. He has said, this is what you do. And the only way we can achieve that, the only way we can do that, is to make sure that we ourselves will receive the promise of the Holy Ghost, our spiritual preparation to fulfill Christ's mandate. Point number three, the Spirit's promise for all Christian ministers. Thank God you are here tonight. I said, thank God you are here tonight. You will not miss out. Blessing will not pass you by. The outpouring will not pass you by. The new power that is coming for a new dawn will not pass you by in Jesus' name. The Spirit's promise for all Christian ministers. Point number one. Tell me number one over there. The Spirit's power in Christ's ministry. Now we need to understand this, that from the conception of the Lord Jesus Christ to the very end of his ministry, the Holy Spirit was active. Think about that. You see, there are many people, they live through their lives. They're Christians. They're born again people. They even claim to be sanctified. They even claim to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But you can see wide gaps in their lives. Days and weeks and months, when they themselves know that the Holy Spirit is not mightily present. The presence of the Spirit is not there. The power of the Spirit is not there. But in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, from the point of conception till the time he was born, and all through the time he lived on earth, until he went to the cross, until he said, "It is finished," every moment was having the Holy Ghost active in his life and in his ministry. The Lord Jesus Christ, actually, before he came from heaven, he emptied himself of his eternal power. He came as a man. Yes, he's God, always God, eternal, infinite, mighty, powerful. But he refused to use the power that he had by the attribute of God. He used the power that could be available to you and to me. Otherwise, he couldn't have said, "He that believeth on me, the works I do, he shall do." Because if he was using the power of God, and he did everything he did as God, and he said that what he did will do, that makes us God. In fact, he says, "Greater works than this shall ye do, because I go to the Father." He said, "You're a man, you're a woman, but the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And the things I did by the power of the Holy Ghost, the same thing you will do." He emptied himself of his eternal power and glory. He laid aside his divine eternal ability. And he relied on the Father and relied on the Holy Spirit. Everything he did, when he opened the eyes of the blind, when he made the lame to walk, When he taught the word of God, when he interpreted the word of God to the people, he was walking and teaching and preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit. He healed and delivered by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was saving lives. He was transforming lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was recreating lives, preparing believers for heaven. And he carried out everything in the power of the Spirit. Now, if Christ brought the new dawn of spiritual life through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, can we hope to do the same without the infilling of the Spirit? Can we hope to do the same without the indwelling of the Spirit? Can we hope to do the same without the endowment of power by the Holy Ghost? If Jesus Christ did everything he did by the power, the presence of the Holy Ghost, then can you say that you can do whatever God calls you to do without that same power of the Holy Ghost? Let me show it to you from conception until the end of his ministry, how it was by the power, by the presence, by the prophetic fulfillment of the Holy Spirit that he did everything. Let's start from Luke chapter 1, from conception. Luke chapter 1, I'm reading from verse 35. In Luke chapter 1, verse 35, back up to verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That is, I have not met any man, although he was espoused to Joseph, they have not come together. And he says, how can this be? Look at the answer of the angel in verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost, somebody shout, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. See that the conception was by the Holy Ghost. Now we're coming to Matthew chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 18. In verse 18, now the birth of Jesus was on this wise: when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found, tell me, she was found, tell me out aloud, with child of, are you there? Of the Holy Ghost. You see that? Conception by the Holy Ghost. Now that she was conceived by the Holy Ghost, look at this in verse 19. Let's go to verse 20. In verse 20, but while he thought that Joseph on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her, tell me out aloud, is of the Holy Ghost. So you will see the importance of the Holy Ghost in his conception, the centrality of the Holy Ghost in his coming to this earth, and you will see the appropriate place and the central place and the non-negotiable place the Holy Ghost took in his conception. We're coming to Luke chapter 2. In Luke chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now he's been born. And remember, conception by the Holy Ghost, birth by the Holy Ghost. And now chapter 2 of Luke, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And tell me, the Holy Ghost was upon him, even to announce in the temple about the Lord Jesus Christ, what was taken to the temple. It said the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by, tell me, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So you see, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Holy Ghost, and now when he was brought to the temple, even to make the announcement, is by the Holy Ghost. And now he's going to start his ministry. We're looking at Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, read from verse 21. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also, being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. You see that again? Here is at his baptism. And you will see that every step, you see that every event in the life of Jesus Christ was orchestrated by the Holy Ghost, supported by the Holy Ghost, endued with the Holy Ghost, empowered by the Holy Ghost. It says the Holy Ghost came upon him, descended upon him in a bodily shape, like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. I pray the same thing will happen to you. Because he has promised us that we can be like him. You will be like him. In life, we'll be like him. In ministry, we'll be like him. And it is going to be, it's not in your strength, it's not in your energy, it's not in your intellect, it's not in your natural intelligence, it's in the power of the Holy Ghost. And he has promised us that. He said, you can be who I was on earth. You can do what I did here on earth. You can preach the same gospel I preach, and you can minister to the people around you. You can expand the kingdom of God by the power of the Holy Ghost. He said, that's how I did it, and that's how you're going to do it. You will do it. Come to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost. How is he full of the Holy Ghost? Already at the baptism, the water baptism. And as was coming out, the Holy Ghost came upon him. And before that time, we were told he had been praying. He was praying. Just like you have to pray, he also had to pray. Just like the church would pray, he also was praying. And in the time of that prayer, the Holy Ghost came upon him. And as you pray today, the mighty power, refreshing, revival, renewal of the Holy Ghost will come upon you in Jesus' name. And being full of the Holy Ghost, he returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Look at verse 2. It is very important. And being 40 days tempted by the devil, in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. You know, we went through the temptation of the devil. Thank God he overcame, and thank God you are going to overcome. But you know something? There are people that they tell us that, you know, there are difficulties in my place of work. The challenges I face, sometimes temptation in our community. And because of the temptations, I was full of the Holy Ghost at that time, you know, before all these challenges came. Some people say, you know, before I became married and before I started having children, these children, I'm telling you, they've taken the Holy Ghost from them. Because sit down there, stand up there, don't do this, do this. Those are children, they don't allow me to retain the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to show you something here, that Jesus Christ had the Holy Ghost, like you are going to have the Holy Ghost. The fullness of the Spirit of God, the power of the Spirit of God. And then all these temptations came. Look at verse 13. Verse 13, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, thank God, temptation is not every minute of the day, it will end. Your trial is not every moment of the day, it will end. Your difficulties and challenges and the crossroad experience you are going through, somebody says, I'm in the wilderness now, you're coming out of that wilderness. It will end in Jesus' name. Look at verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Look at verse 14. And Jesus returned, tell me, the power of the Spirit into Galilee. You see, the temptation did not take the fullness of the Spirit away. In verse 1, he was full of the Holy Ghost. And then temptation came. And then after that temptation, thank God, the fullness of the Holy Ghost is still there. And that fullness will abide with us forever. Look at verse 18 now. In verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You see, we're coming from verse 1. And then we go through the temptation period. And then we go to verse 14. And the Holy Ghost is still there. And now we come to the ministry. We come to verse 18. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, and to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fasting upon him. And he began to say unto them, this day, somebody shout, this day. It's your day. It's the day of outpouring. It's the day of a new dawn. It's the day of the power of the Holy Ghost upon our lives in Jesus' name. This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Would you please look up for a moment? Have you read any promise of God that your heart attaches itself to? That you say, here is a promise. If you have not, you need to search the word of God, because there are lots of promises here in the Bible. There must be one. You are a child of God. There must be one. You are a minister of God. There must be one. You are a worker in the kingdom. There must be one that you can say, this is mine. The Holy Spirit is writing this on the tables of my heart. The Holy Spirit is imprinting this on my heart. And there must be something you will say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. If you're just reading the Bible, if you're just reading all the promises, and you cannot lay hold on one, you cannot stand on one, you cannot claim one, you cannot say, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. If you're sick, look at the promises of God. Hold on to one and say, this day. If you are kind of sorrowful or sad or gloomy, look at the promises of God and hold on to one and say, this day, that day will not pass you by. If it appears you have been defeated, look into the promise of God and be able to stick your heart, your mind, and pin your hope and your faith on one. And be able to say, this day, don't let it go. That you are able to announce to yourself, announce to the devil, announce to everyone, and say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in my life. You know, if you do that for this promise today, another promise tomorrow, another promise another week, I'm telling you, before a long time, you'll be a giant in the faith. You'll be a champion in Jesus' name. Look at this again. He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. What's the meaning of that? The meaning of that is, anybody that came to Christ, that day of fulfillment, if he was sick, he must be healed. If the eyes were blind, the eyes must open. Because that's what he said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has anointed me to bind the broken heart. He has anointed me to open the blind eyes. He has anointed me to set the captives free. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. If anybody came that day, there will be a fulfillment in Jesus' name. And Jesus is here tonight. I said, Jesus is here tonight. And everything he is supposed to do this day, it will be done in your life. We're looking at the ministry of Jesus, and we're looking at the occurrence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. We're looking at the prominence of the Holy Spirit in all the events of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm coming to Matthew now. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And I'm reading from verse 28. Matthew chapter 12. We're looking at verse 28. Look at this in verse 28. It says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. You see, all those miracles he worked, all the casting out of evil spirits, it was by the Holy Spirit. And that's what he's saying here in verse 28. It says, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first binds the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? That's how he defeated all the works of the devil. And if you want all the works of the devil in your life to be totally destroyed and cast forth and thrown away, it is by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Coming to actually actually now, Isaiah, let's look at another passage that has been prophesied concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, how the Spirit will be upon him, how the Spirit will saturate him, and how the Spirit of God will assist him and help him so that he will do everything he was appointed to do. Isaiah chapter 11, I'm reading from verse 1. It says in chapter 11, verse 1, Isaiah, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Somebody say amen. Amen. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because in verse 1, it says, "It's a rod coming out of the stem of Jesse, and it's the branch, capital B, that shall grow out of his roots." That's the son of David. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. One. Then it says, "It's the Spirit of wisdom." That's two. Three. It says, "The Spirit of understanding." That's three. Number four. "It's the Spirit of counsel." Number five. "It's the Spirit of might." Number six. "It's the Spirit of knowledge." Number seven. "The Spirit of the fear of the Lord." As you look at, you know, the wisdom of Jesus, you know, some people say, if they ask me a kind of a dribbling question, terrible question, difficult question, a question they are going to ask me so they can trap me, how am I going to answer? You know, in the ministry of Jesus Christ, they came with this kind of question. This woman was taken in this condition. The Lord of Moses says, "Stone her, what do you say?" And then he was writing on the ground. And then they kept on. Then he said, "He that has no sin among you, let him cast the first stone." They had never heard any wisdom like that. How did that wisdom come? "The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding. Now they came, "Shall we pay tribute to Caesar or not?" He said, "Yes, you must pay." He would say, he has approached the oppression of the Roman government over us. You see that he doesn't love our nation. If he said, "Don't pay," how can you pay that? You must not pay tribute to Caesar. They'll say, "Rome, can you hear the man? He's opposed to the Roman government. He's going to cause insurrection. He's going to cause treason. He's going to, you know, fight against the Roman government." So if he said yes, he'll get into trouble. If he said no, he'll get into trouble. But remember, everything he said, every question he answered, and everything he showed them, it was by the Spirit. And so he said, "Do you have any coin there? Show me your coin there." And he showed him. He said, "Whose image and superscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." He said, "Then give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give unto God your heart." That's coin, tax, money that you pay, that's coin. Give that to Caesar. Let him collect your tax. But your heart, give that to God. It was a surprise to them, but it was by the Spirit of God. And your life, solution will never elude you anymore. If there's a crossroad, you have challenge, you have difficulty, what do I do here? If I move this way, I fall into the ditch. If I move that way, I fall into the ditch. There's confusion here. There's a crossroad here. The Holy Ghost will guide you. And the Holy Ghost will go with you. And the Spirit of the Lord will tell you and show you what to say and what to do at the right time. Because that's how Jesus Christ lived his life. And that's how Jesus Christ also effected the ministry. We're looking at John chapter 3, verse 34. John chapter 3, verse 34. In verse 34 it says, "For he whom the Father sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." What does that mean? That is, Jesus had a great measure of the Spirit of God. Moses had a measure. Joshua had a measure. And Elijah had a measure. And Elisha had double portion, but still a measure. And David had a measure. But when it came to Christ, he received the fullness without measure. Without measure, that was given unto him. And that's what the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Here it tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. You see, everything he did by the Holy Ghost. And it says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Do you see the divine Trinity here? God the Father, our God anointed. Jesus, God the Son, Jesus of Nazareth. And then God the Holy Ghost, with the Holy Ghost and with power. And as he had that endowment of power upon him, that infilling of power upon him, that saturation of power upon him, and he had that great, immeasurable anointing of the Holy Ghost upon him, it says he went about doing good. If you're going to do good in this life, that will count for eternity. That will be rewardable. It will be because of the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life, the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, and the fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Ghost in your life. Thank God your own day has come. Jesus Christ went about doing good and healing all, that's by the Holy Ghost, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The point is this, that in every event of the life of Jesus, in every area of ministry in the life of Jesus, whether it is ministry to one person, or is answering question, or is responding to the Pharisees or the Sadducees, or is healing the sick, or is preaching the gospel, or teaching the word of the kingdom, it was all by the presence and the power and the endowment of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus did everything by the Holy Spirit from conception even to the very end of his ministry, how do you hope you can do anything without the power of the Holy Ghost in your life? Point number two, our spiritual preparation to fulfill Christ's mandate. He has now given us the mandate. He has now given us what to do. And he has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That mandate, how are we to fulfill that? He said we should raise the dead. How do we fulfill that? Heal the sick. How do we do that? And cleanse the lepers. How do we do that? And then tell the poor that the gospel is preached unto you. And bring them into the kingdom, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. How will that happen? We must have the Holy Ghost. If we're going to have the Holy Ghost, there is something that is necessary. There is a preparation that we need to make. Now, anybody can just say, yes, I know the preparation. And I say, what's the preparation? Get saved, get sanctified. That's the summary. That's the summary. But we need to explain, because there are many people that say, I'm saved, and then I'm asking, what's the power of the Holy Spirit? I'm sanctified. What's the power of the Holy Spirit? We must break it down. We must analyze it. We must say, here is the preparation the Lord is saying we ought to have. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 44, and I'm reading from verse 3. Isaiah chapter 44, and we're reading from verse 3. Here is revealing to us the preparation we need to make. Isaiah 44, tell me your verse. Verse 3, for I will pour water upon who? Him that is thirsty, and floods upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring. And look at it there, thirst. We must be thirsty. There must be a desire within us. We must have interest in having the Holy Ghost upon our lives. If you don't have thirst, it's not going to pour the water. What does the New Testament say? Compare this with John chapter 7, verse 37. John chapter 7, verse 37. It says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst. See that? We're in that in Isaiah. I will pour water upon those who are thirsty, upon him that's athirst. And it says over here, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There'll be no dryness anymore. There'll be no weariness anymore. There'll be no famine anymore. There'll be no drought anymore. There'll be freshness every time. I thought you'll say amen. Verse 39, but this speak he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him shall receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And so we understand there must be thirst. Let's go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm reading here from verse 29. Isaiah chapter 40. And we're reading from verse 29. We're talking about preparation. Preparation, we must be thirsty. We must be thirsty. Look at verse 29. In verse 29, he giveth power to the fish. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that, what do they do? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Obviously, if you're going to do this, you're walking and walking and walking. You're moving and moving and moving, and you're not weary. You're not faint. You're here, you're there, walking for the Lord, and you're not tired. And you're running, and you're climbing mountains. You're descending the valley, and you're preaching the gospel, and you're healing the sick, and you're evangelizing, and you're bringing gospel explosion movement, and it's moving on. And you're driving with the same force, or like that last week, and the other month, and the other month, and here you are, and it's spread today, as if you're just starting today. How does that happen? By the power of the Holy Ghost. But look at that verse 31. But they that, tell me out aloud, wait upon the Lord. Those are the people that renew their strength. Come on to the New Testament. And I'm reading from Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. Wait. Look at this, to wait. In chapter 1 verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but, what's the next word? Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. It's talking about the power of the Holy Ghost that comes upon us. And it says, if that power is going to come, and you're going to be filled, indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Remember, they that wait upon the Lord in Isaiah, they renew their strength. And Jesus Christ here said, wait for the promise of the Father, which he says, ye have heard of me. Look at verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized. How? Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I want you to remember that that word baptized actually is not English. They just transferred the word baptizo from the Greek right to the English there. And I mean to put you inside, to dip you inside, and to immerse you. So that, take for example a glass, an empty glass, and you have a drum of water. And you dip, you immerse, you baptize that cup, that glass, into the water. It's going to be surrounded by the water, and it's going to be inside the cup tube. That means when you are immersed in the Holy Ghost, that means when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, that means when you are dipped in the Holy Ghost, it's like you are dipped into the fire. As you look at the promise in Matthew, why don't you look at that? Matthew chapter 3 verse 11. Matthew chapter 3 verse 11. Here you'll find something. Matthew chapter 3, and I'm reading verse 11. In Matthew chapter 3 verse 11, are you there? If you are there, read it out. Okay, you are there. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Somebody praise the Lord there. Whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Look up here. You find the word baptize here. Two times. Number one, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Number two, now it says, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Look up here. Here is John on this side. It says, I'm John the Baptist. Here is Jesus on this side, and John is saying, I am John the Baptist, and he is Jesus the baptizer. And here, come on here. Here there is water. And I baptize you in water. That means I take you. You surrender yourself to me. And you don't struggle with me. You totally yield and submit yourself, and I put you inside the water completely, completely, so that you are totally soaked in the water. And then I bring you. He said, I'm John the Baptist. He is Jesus the baptizer. He is also going to baptize people, but his son is different. There is fire, but there's liquid fire. You understand? One would say liquid. Liquid is like water. It's like when you melt something, like any kind of thing you melt to a fire, becomes totally salt and becomes like liquid. And John the Baptist is saying he is Jesus the baptizer. In his own case, he has a river of fire and it's liquid fire. I take you, body, and I put you inside the water. He will take you and he'll put you inside liquid fire. And when he puts you inside liquid fire, coldness will vanish away. Lethargy will vanish away. Lukewarmness will vanish away. I don't know whether I'm interested in this or not. All that will vanish away. I don't know. I easily get tired. You know, I walk a little. All this gem they are talking about, gospel explosion movement, I want to. All this, so we need knock on this door, knock on this door, knock on this door. I want to. But you know, I take a little step like this, and it's like I'm going to fall down. Because of that, I don't go. When you're put in liquid fire, all that thing that you call lethargy and lukewarmness, everything will vanish away in Jesus' name. Fire on the inside, fire on the outside, cold will vanish away. Every property of the devil, every charm, everything will be burnt away. Anything you say, I don't understand, this one is walking inside my body, this one is moving there, and I know I'm a believer, and I'm not gone into sin. Have you been to the farm before? When those farmers, when they gather all those things together, the branches and the leaves and everything, and then they pour something, and they put fire there, and the fire is burning that thing, all the rats will be running out. All the lizards will be running out. All the serpents will be running out. Come inside the fire of the Holy Ghost, and that thing walking about, everything will vanish away tonight. Your brain, you'll be free. Your mind will be free. Every plant that the Heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted and dried up and totally burnt away in Jesus' name. But wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which is said, he will give unto you. And as you wait for him, and you wait on him, and you are praying unto him, thank God, fire power will come upon your life. Look at Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And I'm reading here from verse 49. It says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, that's another word for wait, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That word endued means enveloped with power from on high. That word endued means it's like a blanket and it covers you completely, and Satan will not see you again. Evil powers will not see you again. It's like you're hidden inside the blanket of the power and the fire of the Holy Ghost. But remember, wait, and then it will happen. I'm looking at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 29. We're talking about preparation, spiritual preparation to fulfill Christ's mandate for the Holy Ghost to come. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Look at this. And grieve not who? The Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Look up here for a moment. You know, there are many people do not understand. They say, I just want to have the Holy Ghost. Of course, it's promised unto you. But it says, grieve not the Spirit of God. How do you grieve the Spirit of God? It says, if you don't want to grieve him, you will look at your life. You remove this. This will grieve him. This will grieve him. This will grieve him. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness, that grieves him. And all wrath, that grieves him. And anger, that grieves him. And clamor, bullying on, you know, somebody shouting on them as if they're not human beings, and you want to make a rag of them and walk over them. It says, and clamor, that grieves the Holy Spirit. Evil speaking, that grieves the Holy Spirit, be put away from you with all malice. That grieves him. It says, you want this power of the Holy Ghost. This is what we call sanctification. We just say sanctification, but it's, you know, it's expanding it for us. It says, look at your heart. Any resentment there? Look at your heart. Any revengeful spirit there? Look at your heart. Any bitterness, any malice there? Anything you're still nursing there? I don't want to see him. I don't want to see her. I don't want to talk to her. Anything you're nursing, get rid of them. They grieve the Holy Spirit. And if you're grieving the Holy Spirit, how can he come in and then occupy you fully? Acts of the Apostles chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, and I'm reading from verse 51. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. It says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and in ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. You know, if you're resisting the Holy Ghost, how can he come and take residence in you? How can you be baptized into him? How can you be immersed into him? If you are resisting him, it shows you new light, you resist that. It shows you this, the way walking therein, you resist that. It shows you that, you know, you're not moving fast enough. You're not going fast enough. Buck up now and do this and do that. And you become unhappy that somebody told you that, you know, by the Spirit, move on and move faster. That offended you. If you're resisting the light and the further revelation of the word of God, if that offends you, you cannot at the same time be filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I show you this, that, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ had told his own disciples, and he has said, you have not got everything now, you have not known everything now, but the Holy Ghost will come. Look at chapter 16, John chapter 16, and I'm reading here from verse 12. John chapter 16, verse 12, it says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Many things, not just a few things, not just one thing. Many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, that's the Holy Ghost, he will guide you into all truth, and he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, he will show you things to come. You see that? It says, it's going to give you further revelation. It's going to give you further knowledge. It's going to give you further light. But if you're resisting that, I don't want that. I don't want anything. Everything I want to know, I have known. Anything that comes, I don't want to hear about that. If you receive the Holy Spirit, as it gives you further knowledge and further understanding and further light, he cannot come and take residence in you, because when he comes, he's going to be moving you and leading you and guiding you and say, you didn't know this before, look at this. You didn't see that before, look at this. You didn't believe that before, look at this. And if you are the person that says, no, I don't want knowledge, I don't want light, I don't want to understand it, all I've got is what I've got. Look at Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And we're looking at, you know, the situation here. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, we're reading now from verse 14. Acts chapter 10, verse 14. But Peter said, not so, Lord, not so, Lord, not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Here is a further light that was coming to him to go to the Gentiles, to go to Cornelius, and to go to the house of Cornelius and reveal the truth unto them. And this is something he's never done. He's never thought about this before. He's never got light, knowledge, understanding about this before. And the Holy Ghost is saying, this is what to do. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. You see, the people who resist any further light coming, they will not be able to receive this power of the Holy Ghost we are talking about. I'm looking at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And here we're reading from verse 2. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 2. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye have not. Ye have not because ye have not. The Lord Jesus has said, ask and shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and shall be opened unto you. And he said, for everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And he said, which of you, having a son, if the son shall ask for bread, will you give him stone? If he asks for a fish, will you give him a scorpion? And if he asks for an egg, will you give him scorpion? If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Ask him. Ask him. You see, you have to ask. And here it's saying, in the latter part of verse 2, it says, ye have not, because ye ask not. Look at verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that she may consume it upon your lust. Here's a challenge then, that as you are coming to prepare yourself, you clear yourself of any ulterior motive. You clear yourself of any selfish motive. You clear your mind of anything that God will say, that's the wrong motive, that's the wrong intention, and that's the wrong action. Because it says, if you ask for the wrong reason, you ask amiss, he will not give. But you must ask in faith. We're looking at James chapter 1 verse 5. In James chapter 1 verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, the wisdom of the Spirit, understanding of the Spirit, boldness of the Spirit, the courage of the Spirit, and the vision of the Spirit, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But look at this, verse 6, but let him ask how? I can't hear my people. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man. Who is a double-minded man? Now, I want it. And then he prays a little here. And then when he gets back home, his mind has shifted to another thing. A double-minded man. Now he is waiting. Now he's desiring. Now he's passionate about it. Now he says, I want this infilling of the Holy Ghost, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I want the endowment of power. But now after the next minute, he wants another thing. He's going in another direction. That's a double-minded man. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You will not be double-minded. I said you will not be double-minded. This truth you are going to have, and this power you are going to have in Jesus' name. We're coming to Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Hosea chapter 10, we're reading from verse 12. In Hosea chapter 10, look at what it's telling us here in verse 12. It says in verse 12, sort yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You see, when the Old Testament prophets, when they talk about the Holy Ghost, they talk about the latter rain, about the former rain. They talk about the former rain that, you know, came at the beginning of of the establishment of the church in Acts chapter 2. And then of the latter rain at the time in which we're living now. And now he talks about the rain of righteousness, because he is the Holy Spirit. When he comes with holiness. When it comes with godliness. When it comes with righteousness. And he says, sort yourself in righteousness. And you must make sure that in your heart, there's righteousness. In your mind, there's righteousness. In your behavior, your character, there's righteousness. Everything is like totally saturated with righteousness. And reaping mercy, break up your fallow ground. You know, some people say, just who I am, when I hear things, it doesn't really move me. That's my way of life. That's my constitution. It said, break it up, break it up. Break up your fallow ground. And then it says, for it is time to seek the Lord until he comes to rain righteousness upon you. Thank God, your time has come. And this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears in Jesus' name. Look at Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah chapter 4, and I'm reading from verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 4, we're reading from verse 3. It says, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground." Break up your fallow ground. Sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves unto the Lord. Take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. He's telling us there's something to excavate. There's something to dig up. There's something to throw away. The things that will hinder. In fact, he calls it their thorns. And he says, remove those thorns. Mark chapter 4 explains that to us. Mark chapter 4, I'm reading from verse 18. Mark chapter 4, verse 18. It says, "These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world that hinders the infilling of the Holy Ghost, the cares of this world that prevents the saturation of the Holy Ghost, the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust and desire for all the things, entering in, choke the word, and becometh unfruitful." The Lord is telling us then, in our preparation, there are things that will hinder. There are things that will stop. There are things that will debar the coming in of the power and the flow and the river of the Holy Ghost, the liquid fire from coming in. And he says we need to get rid of those things. Let me summarize them for you, breaking them down. Number one, self-satisfaction. No thirst, no desire. I'm all right the way I am. What are they talking about, Holy Ghost? What are they talking about, new dawn? What are they talking about? They're talking about moving on in the power of God. I'm okay the way I am. You see, that hinders anything coming more. But self-satisfaction means there's no thirst. Number two is no prayer. Prayerlessness. Not waiting, not tarrying, not praying. If you are like that and you are not waiting for the power of the Holy Ghost, and you're not telling, you're not discerning, you're not reading, you're not studying, you're not hearing the message again until you are fired up, until you say, "I must have the Holy Ghost," prayerlessness will hinder. Number three, resisting the conviction of the Spirit. The Lord has told you that bitterness, get rid of that, that grieves me. And that malice, that grieves me. And that resentful spirit, that grieves me. Resisting the conviction of the Spirit. Oh, you have to, God wants you to go to that person and say, "I'm sorry for, you know, that attitude I put up. I'm sorry for, you know, that thing I said to you. I know it hurt you. I'm sorry for that thing I did. I know you felt embarrassed by that." If we receive the conviction of the Spirit, it will grieve him. Then grieving the Spirit of God. Number five, dishonesty and refusal to make restitution. Dishonesty. You're dishonest. One way or the other, you are selling, you are buying, you are giving money, you are owing money, whatever, or you are hurting somebody else, and you are dishonest. He wants you to make restitution so that the times of refreshing will come upon you. Number six is harboring resentment, harboring bitterness, harboring a revengeful spirit. We'll say it before. I'm just summarizing. And then number seven, lukewarmness and lack of interest in the salvation of souls. We're talking about salvation of souls. We're talking about reaching everyone, everywhere. We're talking about going after them. People of the same language, of the same profession, and people like you can easily talk to them. It's just that you are not interested. Getting saved. Now you are saved. You're on your way to heaven. And you're not thinking about the salvation of other people. That will hinder the Holy Ghost coming upon you. Number eight, indulging evil tempers. Indulging evil tempers. You wear your temper on your skin, and you easily get angry, easily get offended. And things that shouldn't bother anybody, that, you know, we come to the service and here we are just happy together, joyful together. And then, you know, things that you will just pass by, but you're easily offended. You say, get rid of that and don't indulge evil tempers. Justifying wrong. Justifying wrong. Somebody has done something wrong, said something wrong, and you justify that. That grieves the Spirit. Rejecting for the light from the Spirit. All these things hinder the outpouring of the Spirit on each of us, and we must be cleansed of them. Thank God, the blood of Jesus is still flowing. It will cleanse you in Jesus' name. Wash you whiter than snow. Have you gone back home? I said, it will wash you whiter than snow. And then that means, one, remove all stumbling blocks. Remove all stumbling blocks. Number two, purge your heart. Purge your heart. Anything that ought not to be there, as we're getting ready for the coming of the Spirit of God. Number three, cleanse your hands. Seek the Lord wholeheartedly with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And if you seek the Lord wholeheartedly like that, it will come in Jesus' name. Because the promise is unto you. I said the promise is unto you. Can you see how dull that amen is? Acts of the Apostles now, chapter 2. Point number 3, the Spirit's promise for all Christian ministers. As Christian ministers, as Christian workers, as the people that the Lord has called and said, go forth into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He's called us, he's commissioned us, and he's sending us forth. He said, as my Father has sent me, even so have I sent you into the world. And if we're going to do the same thing he did what he did by the power of the Spirit. He did what he did by the presence, by the power, by the fulfillment of the promise of the Holy Ghost upon him, and we have to do the same thing too. And he's giving us the promise, and the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. He will not deny us, he will not deny you, he will not delay the endowment of your power, he will not delay it in your life in Jesus' name. If there is any delay, such delay is on our part, such delay is on our part, because we're resisting him, because we are not yielding to him, because we are not looking up to him, because we are not waiting on him, because we are not tarrying, because we are not taking hold of the promise, because we are not asking. If there is any delay, the delay is on our part. We must not despise the gift, the presence, the power of the Spirit of God. We must not despise the provider. He has provided this for us. And if you say, well, I don't think I really need that, you're saying that the work of Christ's ministry can be done without the Spirit. You're saying that you can do everything Christ did in the energy of the flesh. Even that thought of self-sufficiency is sin. He wants you to repent of that. He wants you to return. He wants you to seek the Lord. And then the promise will be yours. I said the promise will be yours. Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, for the cleansing, for the forgiveness of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the promise. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I will receive the power of the Holy Ghost. And I will receive the endowment of the Holy Ghost. And I will receive the immersion into the Holy Ghost. It says in verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He calls you to salvation. He calls you to holiness, sanctification. He calls you to service. As many as the Lord our God shall call, the promise is unto you and to them that are far off, even those who are far off, far away from the original place the Pentecost took place, those who are far off like us, as many as the Lord our God shall call, it shall be yours in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 3, we're looking at verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Here is the promise. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, I did baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Look up here. John the Baptist is saying this. I, John, I baptize you in water. And Jesus, the baptizer, is mightier than I. He said, think about this. Think about this. The distance between Christ and John, that is how far Jesus Christ is from John, or John far from Jesus, he is mightier, mightier, mightier than I. He said, that's how mighty the Holy Ghost baptism is in comparison with water baptism. Water baptism done by John is just like this, a little thing. Just like I'm a little person, like John. And then he says, the Holy Ghost baptism done by the mightier one is mightier than the water baptism. And if you have been baptized in water, and that gave you, you know, peace, or obeyed the Lord, now if you're going to baptize, you'll be going to say, greater, mightier thing, it will come upon your life in Jesus' name. Look at verse 12. Verse 12, it says in verse 12, whose fan is in the sun, and it will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Every chaff in your life, that Holy Ghost will burn away. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. And we're reading from verse 9. Luke chapter 11 verse 9. Look at the assurance he gives us here. Luke chapter 11 verse 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Amen there. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, how many people? Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that say, Father, will he give him a stone? Or if he shall ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Look at this. If ye then being able, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? You see, you get breakfast from your parents. You see, you get food from your parents. How easy is that? You just go to them and say, I'm hungry. It's time for breakfast. And they give you the breakfast. And now you see, how much more? If your earthly parents can give you this without any hassle and without any crying or whatever, you don't need to cry for this. Ask, it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. And knock, it shall be opened unto you in Jesus' name. It says, if ye then being evil, not to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give, tell me, the Holy Spirit to them that do what? That ask him, you'll ask him. And he will give unto you. When the Holy Spirit comes, what does he do in our lives? Many people think, the Holy Ghost speaks in tongues. Thank God for that, but it's more than that. Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I'm reading from verse 11. Luke chapter 12, verse 11. It says, and when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and the powers, and take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. Tell me out aloud. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what ye ought to say. You know what that is saying? It's just like when the Pharisees came to Jesus Christ and they said, do we stone this woman or leave her alone? He cannot go and find anything in dictionary, encyclopedia. How do I answer these people? He cannot go and ask this and that right on the spot. They say, what are we going to do? The Holy Ghost gave him the word to say. And when you come to such situation in your life, the Holy Ghost will tell you what to say. Will reveal what to say. All you need is to be filled with the Holy Ghost, that your own thoughts are set aside, your own mind is set aside, just the word and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. Look at that verse 12 again. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what she ought to say. We're looking at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm reading from verse 17. John chapter 14. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, the Spirit, it will clear away every error from your heart. When false doctrine is coming, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, will not just say, that's false, that's false, that's false. And it will point you to the real truth. It says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. I said, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. That's one stage. You are born again. He dwelleth with you. You're sanctified. He dwelleth with you. Look at this. The baptismal measure. And shall be in you. And shall be in you. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, look at the promises given us by the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you how many things? You see, it will broaden your knowledge. It will deepen your knowledge. It will expand your knowledge. The Holy Ghost, when he's resident there, the Holy Ghost knows the whole Bible. He's the author of the scriptures. He inspired the scriptures. And when you have the Holy Ghost, he'll be, you know, you read any part of the Bible, he'll explain that to you. I read this, I don't understand. I read this, I don't understand. When I read another, I close that and I try to read another part. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, look at this. It says, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And he will bring all things to your remembrance. Somebody say amen. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. They tell me I forget, you'll not forget. I hear it, I forget, you'll not forget. I read it, I forget, you'll not forget. They preach it on Saturday, I forget, you will not forget. It says, and bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever ye have, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. We're looking at chapter 15 of John, verse 26. It says, for the Comforter, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send. That's the promise, he will send. I said he will send. I said he will send. Whom I will send unto you from the Father. Even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. It shall not be difficult for you to testify, because it says in verse 27, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Chapter 16. In chapter 16, I'm reading from verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. He's coming. I said he's coming. He'll come upon your life. He'll come upon your soul. He'll come upon your spirit, because he say, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. That is, when you preach, when you speak, the Holy Ghost will bring conviction upon the people you are talking to. Of righteousness, because I go unto my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Give me a good amen. Amen. And now I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. But when the Holy Ghost is come, how be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. And then he goes on to say, as he guides you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. Now the time has come. My time has come. I said, my time has come. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 31. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, I'm going to pray. I said, I'm going to pray. You don't mean to pray. You will pray, and God will answer your prayer in Jesus' name. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at that person, they are all filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at that sister, they are all filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at that preacher, pastor, they are all filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at the soul winner, they are all filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at him upstairs, they are all filled with the Holy Ghost. And he spake the word of God with. They spoke the word of God with. Fear has gone away from today. Timidity has gone away from today. Cringing and compromising has gone away from today. They all prayed. The place was shaking and the people were shaking. Everything shakeable will be shaken out of your life. And you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. Where are you? Filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Aren't you ready? Filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, are you not ready? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And you will speak the word of God, the gospel of Christ. You will speak with power. You'll speak with boldness. You'll speak with authority. You'll speak with anointing. And everything will bend and bow before you. It's a new dawn. It's a new dawn. A new dawn. A new dawn with the workers that are spirit-filled. It's your time. It's your time. It's your time. They all speak, they all speak, and they all prayed, and they all desired, and they all sought, and as they sought the Lord with all their heart, and they removed all those things they need to remove, everything that's like a pebble, like a hindrance, like a blockage, everything was removed, and then they were filled with the Holy Ghost, everyone, and they spoke the word of God with boldness and power, with authority, with anointing, and many were swept into the kingdom of God. This is your day. This day, this word is fulfilled in your life.